Take your Bibles and be turning with me, if you would please, to the book of Acts and Acts chapter 15. The book of Acts and Acts chapter 15. If you need a Bible, our ushers have Bibles for you to use for the service here this morning. Just raise your hand. We'll give you a page number so you'll be able to follow along here this morning. So if you don't have a copy of the Word of God, please raise your hand. And go with us to page 1169. Page 1169. Thank you, Jordan, for singing that song for this morning. And what a truth that is. The Lord is strong when we are what? Weak. And the Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And some of us are working on memorizing that verse this week, so that song just sort of reemphasized that truth to us once again this morning, did it not? And so, what a great truth that is. Acts chapter 15, if you would please, in your Bibles, the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15. In your Bibles, Wednesday evening, I began a discussion on the subject of godliness here in our church. We found that godliness is something that as believers we are to pursue after, we're to follow after godliness. We also found that it's something that we are to exercise ourselves unto. And I'm saying that because I want you to know that tonight in our evening service at 6, we're going to continue our discussion on the subject of godliness tonight. So I encourage each of you to be back for that evening service, a very important subject, very important truth, not something that we just learn about academically, but something that certainly needs to become a part of our lives. We need to be godly people. So we'll look at that once again this evening. Encourage each of you to be back at 6 for that service. Now, our study today brings us to the very first church council that was convened at Jerusalem with the apostles and the elders. They convened this council to address an extremely important subject. It deals with the issue of what we often refer to as salvation, but what does it take to get to heaven? Now, you need to understand that at this council, there were some people who believed that getting to heaven, our salvation, came to us by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Then on the other hand, there were some at this council who were saying, faith alone in Christ is not enough to get to heaven. And you've also got to submit yourself to the rite of circumcision, and you've got to put yourself under the commandments of God, under the law of Moses. And if you don't do that, there's no way that you can get to heaven. So this council that we're going to look at here this morning is an extremely important council because, understand, those two messages are not the same. They are not the same. When you believe in salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then you're saying that, you know, it's not the commandments that's going to get you to heaven. And it's not the rite of circumcision. So we're going to take our Bibles this morning and just look at this church council, see what happens as a result of it, and ask God to teach us some important things here this morning. If you're physically able, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God out of respect for God's Word. In Acts chapter 15, follow along in your Bibles if you would please. I've titled the message this morning, It's Hard to Believe. It's Hard to Believe. And starting in verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, verse 4, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, much questioning going on, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts. Now notice what the Bible says. By what? By faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe, look at what the Apostle Peter says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. I pray for your help this morning as we look into this passage of Scripture. I pray for great liberty and freedom in the proclamation of the truth of Jesus Christ, of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to gain some discerning issues here this morning over the gospel. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that has never believed the gospel, that today they would believe it and be saved from their sins and have the assurance of a home in heaven before they ever leave here. Father, we're thankful for each and every one that you've brought our way. May the ministry of the Word of God impact hearts and lives, be a blessing to those who've come. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Have you ever had someone tell you something that was so unbelievable? I mean, it just took you by surprise and caught you off guard, that you responded back by saying something on the order, well, I find that hard to believe. Yeah, or I just can't believe that. You ever had that reaction to something? You know, someone told you something and you just found it incredible, you know? And you said, man, that is hard to believe. Well, we find a response like that taking place here in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15. In fact, in this passage that we read this morning, there were a couple of things that was really proving hard for some people to believe, for some people to accept. First of all, for some of the Jewish people, it was really an unbelievable thing that God was actually saving the Gentiles. I mean, you know, that's incredible. That's unbelievable. I just can't believe that. That's hard to believe. And then there were some other folks that thought, well, if God is saving the Gentiles, then this is doubly hard to believe. If he is, then it's hard to believe that they could be saved without being circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Now, keep in mind that Barnabas and Paul had returned to Antioch and had given a full report of that first missionary journey that they'd gone on. Look up in the previous chapter, chapter 14, verse 27. Notice it says, and when they were come, let's talk about they, Barnabas and Paul, come to the church of Antioch, they gathered the church together. In verse 27 it says, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had, now look at this, how God, he God, had opened the what? The door, now look at this, the door of what? Faith. And who did he open the door of faith to? To the Gentiles. I mean, they had seen the Lord, just open wide open doors for them to be able to carry the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, to the Gentiles. And they experienced it themselves, that the Gentiles responded in faith to the gospel. They believed the gospel, and God saved them. God brought them into his family. He gave them eternal life. And what a wonderful thing that was. And so they're reporting back to the church at Antioch concerning those things. And then after they gave that report, notice verse 28 says, and they abode long time with the what? Disciples, or I should say with who? So they stayed there in Antioch for a considerable amount of time, speaking with the church of Antioch, ministering to them, having fellowship with them, worshiping with them, etc. Now we come down to chapter 15. And after a period of time, in chapter 15, we see in verse 1, that certain men came to Antioch, and they came from Judea, the southern part of Israel. And as they came up to Antioch from Judea, notice what these men were teaching. Notice what it says. They taught the brethren and said, very clear, verse 1, look at what it says, except ye be what? Circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved. Now they were very clear on their position, and they were very emphatic on their position. Now I believe the Bible teaches this. I believe the Bible teaches that unless you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. You'll never make it happen. In fact, if you don't believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say this kindly, but I do want to say that the Bible teaches you'll never see heaven. In fact, you'll be eternally separated from God in the place of the everlasting lake of fire, a place called hell. And that's what the Bible teaches. Let me show you a verse on that real quickly. We're real close here. Turn over to your right to the book of Romans in Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Romans chapter 1, page 1192. In Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be in heaven. Do you want to be in heaven? Sure, I want to be in heaven. So therefore, I want to know what the Bible says I must do in order to be into heaven. And as I look into the Word of God to find that out, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, notice the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the," now look at the word, what is it? "The gospel of" who? "Christ." And notice the verse goes on to say this, "For it." And that word, "it," is referring back to the gospel of Christ. And notice what the Bible says, "It," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto" what? "Salvation." The Bible goes on to say, "to everyone that believeth." And then notice at the end of the verse, this message was not just for the Jews. Notice what it goes on to say. It says, oh yes, to the Jew when? First, but also to the who? To the Greek or to the Gentile. And so we know that historically the gospel was preached to the Jews first, but then it was also preached to the what? Gentiles. And we understand that the gospel is God's message that brings us our salvation. If we're going to go to heaven, we're going to go to heaven by the gospel. It, the gospel, is the power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believes. Now, what is the gospel? I mean, we have to understand what the message is to believe it, do we not? And what is the gospel? Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, over to your right. I'll give you a page number once I get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would please. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 1225, here's the message of the gospel. Here's what the gospel is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you," here it is, the what? The gospel. So he's about to make a declaration of what the gospel is. He goes on to say, "which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." And in the beginning of verse 2 it says, "by which also ye are" what? "Saved." We're on page 1225. So if we're going to be saved from our sin and have a home up in heaven, the Bible's saying that we've got to be saved through the gospel. Well, yet we still don't know what the gospel is. But he goes on to define what it is in verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Here we go. "How that Christ died," and notice what the Bible says, "he died for our" what? "Sins." And then the Bible says, "according to the Scriptures," and that he was what? "Buried," and then he rose again the third day according to the what? Scriptures. So the gospel is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf, whereby our sins can be forgiven and heaven can be our home. You see, getting circumcised and obeying the commandments has nothing to do with what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. It has totally to do with what man does. The idea of thinking, well, I can get to heaven by what I what? Do. And the Bible says, no, 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 no. We cannot get to heaven by what we do. We must get to heaven by what Jesus Christ did. He did for us what none of us could ever do. And that is, he died for our what? Sins. He then was buried, proving that he had indeed died. And then 3 days later, he arose from the grave, proving indeed that he was God come in the flesh. But it also proves to us that he's got the power to give to us everlasting life. I mean, to live in heaven forever, we've got to have everlasting what kind of life? So we have life right now, do we not? But the life we have right now cannot get us to heaven. Because the life that we have right now is not everlasting. It is only temporary. It's temporary life, It's appointed unto man once to die. And the life that we have now is only a temporary life. We need everlasting life. And we need a life that can be provided to us through someone that took care of our sin issue. You know what separates us from God? It's our sin. It's our sin. Go back to the book of Romans with me, if you would, please. Let me show you this real quickly, and then we'll go back to the book of Acts. Over to your left once again. Romans chapter 3 this time. Romans chapter 3, page 1194. And we need a little foundation here this morning before we get into Acts chapter 15. So let's just lay the foundation. Be patient with it. It'll help us. In Romans chapter 3, notice, if you would, please, in page 1194, I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 3 in verse 23. Where in Romans chapter 3 in verse 23, it says that everyone here at church has sinned except for the pastor. It does say that, doesn't it, Hannah? Doesn't it say that? Hannah, come on. Look at the verse. Verse 23. For everyone has sinned. Hannah, Kayla, Garrett, except for the pastor. No? Hannah, I thought you liked me. I thought you were my friend. You know the verse says everybody sinned except for the pastor. Right? No? No? What's it say? Let's look at the verse. It says, for all have sinned. And because we've sinned, notice what it says, we've come what? Short of the glory of God. Do you realize that everyone on this earth has sinned against God? And our sin is what separates us from Him? I mean, God's a holy God. God's a perfect God. Do we measure up to God's perfection? Do we measure up to God's holiness? Do we measure up to God's standard? No, we've all what? We've all sinned. So therefore, we need a Savior. And that's Jesus Christ. He came to this earth, God in the flesh, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, paid for our sin, was buried, rose again the third day. That's the good news gospel. And the gospel, the Bible says, is the good news that Jesus Christ can forgive you, He can save you, He can give you a home in heaven. And here's the good news: when you believe. When you believe. Isn't that good news? I mean, that is good news. Stop and think about that. You mean all the religions of the world aren't going to tell you that. The religions of the world are going to tell you, do, 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 do. They're going to tell you exactly what those people from Judea were saying. Look over back in Acts chapter 15, if you would, please. Back in Acts chapter 15, page 1169, if you have your lost your place in your Bible. But back in Acts chapter 15, you know, the religions of the world focus upon what man does for God, teaching you that you get to heaven by what you do. The good news gospel says, no, we get to heaven by what Jesus did. We get to heaven by believing. And notice in chapter 15, verse 1, once again, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, now look at what they said, except ye be what? Circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be what? Saved. Yet the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches, except you believe the gospel, you can't be saved. So the gospel is a very important message. And the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem are going to deal with this issue at a church council because, listen, the message of salvation is at stake. And when you're dealing with the message of how to get to heaven, listen to me carefully. You have no room at all to compromise that message. You have no room at all to change that message. You have no room at all to tell people what you think or what you want to believe, or your opinion, or your way. Hey, listen, if we get that wrong, we're wrong for all eternity. Because there's only one message that can get us to heaven. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these guys came up to Antioch. They're preaching a false gospel. They're preaching a false message. Well, what's Paul and Barnabas going to do? I mean, they're just going to sit there and twiddle their thumbs and listen to these guys spread their false message without speaking out about it? No! Not on your life. Look at verse 2. Look at what happens in verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, no small dissension and disputation with who? with the guys who were teaching the false message. Then they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. You know, these guys are taking a stand. And why do they need to take a stand? Because if you don't take a stand for the message of what gets a person to heaven, people end up believing false messages, and they don't go to heaven, they die and go to hell. The truth of the gospel was at stake. It was at stake. And we need to understand, church, that the gospel is such a message that when the truth of the gospel is at stake, we must stand at all cost. Whatever it costs us, it doesn't really matter, the cost. Whatever price you got to pay, doesn't really matter the price you've got to pay. If the issue of the truth of salvation is at stake, we must stand. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 2. The book of Galatians over to your right. I'll give you a page number once I get there. And go with me to the book of Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, page 1242. 1242. Page 1242. And here in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 2, I want you to begin with me in verse 4. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse 4, the Bible says this, and that because of false, what? Brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You know what he's saying? There were some people who wanted to take us and put us back under the commandments of God and saying that you get to heaven, you're saved by the law. And then notice verse 5, what they did. To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an what? Hour. We didn't tolerate that false teaching for even 60 minutes. By the way, an hour back in those days was the same as an hour in our days. Just wanted you to have some profound truth here today. An hour has always been an hour. Amen? A day's always been a day. Amen? That's right. And notice what it goes on to say. It says that the truth of the gospel might what? Continue with you. Do you realize, church, what happens when you don't take a stand for the truth of the gospel? You lose it. The message is lost. And when the message is lost, guess what? You've got people who are confused, that don't have any understanding of the truth, and no understanding of what it takes to get to heaven or how to go to heaven. You just have mass confusion. So we've got to learn to stand for the truth. Then look over, if you would please, the little book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. The little book of Jude, there's only one chapter in it. Page 1328, if you would please. 1,328, all I'm saying is that Paul and Barnabas did what we always must do. They took a stand. They didn't tolerate the error, not even for 60 minutes. Why? That the truth of the gospel might what? Continue with you. And here in the book of Jude, in Jude verse 3, notice the Bible makes this statement. In Jude verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and earnestly exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the what? Faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, the Bible commands us to be contending Christians. It does not command us to be contentious Christians. In fact, the Bible says a lot about contention, does it not? But it commands us to be contending Christians, that we are to stand for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Think about it. Think about those boys and girls, those teenagers, and those adults that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior just a few weeks back at our vacation Bible school. Why did they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Why is heaven now their home? And they've been rescued from an eternity in the everlasting lake of fire. Well, the answer is because the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached. And that's the only reason. It's not because we're anything great. The message is what saves, not the messenger. We simply stood up and taught them what the Bible says is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Christ did on our behalf whereby we can be saved, and we issued the call to believe it. Because the Bible says the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And guess what? They understood. They saw. They believed. And they were what? Saved. Now what would have happened if we as a church were not a contending church? And what if we just preached a confusing, clouding message? They would not have been saved. See, the gospel is a very important message that we must always stand for and contend for. Go back with me to the book of Acts, if you would, please. We need to move along here this morning. So realize there were some false teachers who were coming up to Antioch, teaching a false message. Paul and Barnabas are standing for the truth. And the leaders in the church there at Antioch, well, they're saying, well, listen, you know, we want to send you guys down to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem and let them deal with this question, because the contention was sharp. It needed to be sharp. So verse 3 talks about Barnabas and Paul making their way down to Jerusalem. Verse 3 speaks about their journey. Look what it says. And being brought on their way by the church, they pass through Phoenix, they pass through Samaria, and they travel along, and they go from town to town, they go from church to church. Look what they're doing. They're declaring the conversion of who? The Gentiles. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but it's true. It's happening. Those people are believing the gospel. They are being saved. And guess what? It was cause of great joy unto all the who? All the brethren. Just as I think back to just a few weeks ago when God blessed us by giving us the privilege to preach the gospel to all those boys and girls and teenagers and moms and dads. And many of them believed. And even though it's removed a few weeks, and when I think back at what God did at that Vacation Bible School, how God worked in multitudes of children's lives, maybe multitudes, wrong word, many children's lives, many teenagers' lives, and the indication, many parents' lives on Friday night, you know, I still rejoice. I'm still excited. I'm still happy about that. Thank God that there is a church in this community that will stand up and clearly proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, won't come along and ask people to do something that God doesn't ask them to do to be saved, but will simply say, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can be saved. What a glorious message. What an exciting thing. We ought to be filled with joy to the brim. I don't care what our troubles are. I don't care what our trials are. I don't care what our testings are. I don't care what our difficulties are. Man, we ought to be rejoicing in what God did in the salvation of sinners. Amen? That's true. Now let's go on. Verse 4. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. So they go back and they talk about what God was doing. What a joyous occasion that was. But notice what happens in verse 5. May I say here today that Satan hates the gospel? I mean, that ought to be a given. Don't you think so? You know, he hates the gospel. And Satan is vicious in his attacks against the truth. Can I say that as well? And may I also say that Satan is also vicious toward his attacks of the church that stands for the truth? And notice what happens here. Notice what takes place here. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, now look at what these guys say, that it was, look at this, it's what? It's needful to circumcise them. Them is talking about the Gentiles, and command them to keep the law of Moses. In other words, these people, do they believe that believing the gospel's enough to get to heaven? No, you got to tell those Gentiles, they've got to be circumcised. You got to tell those Gentiles that they've got to obey the laws and commandments of God. Well, my friend, you can cling to the law of God, but it's not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to save you. Take your Bibles and turn back with me, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, over to your right. One book over to your right. in Romans chapter 3, page 1194. Page 1394. And understand that there's nothing wrong with the commandments of God, but the commandments of God do not save us. They do not get us to heaven. See, obeying the commandments of God places the responsibility back on man. And yet we've all sinned and come short of what it takes to get to heaven. Well, I've come short of what it takes to get to heaven. Am I going to begin to scramble around and make up for all the sin that I've done wrong? God says, no, the wages of sin is what? Death. And here in Romans chapter 3, notice if you would please, in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, verse 19, look in your Bibles, please, that whatever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be, look at the word, what is it? Stopped, and all the world may become what? Guilty before God. Look up here and let me illustrate. Okay? Look up here and let me illustrate. I've been using the guys, so maybe I need to use one of the girls. Kaylee, come on up for a second. Okay? Do I have to? Okay, just stand here. Okay, don't worry about it. Just stand there. Nice, shining smile. Okay? Good. Great. If we were to take Kaylee and we were to put her life against the commandments of God. Although Kaylee's a sweet kid, okay? And a nice nice teenager, okay? And all those things. And my friend, right? And that verse says all the sin except for the pastor, right? I've lost all my friends today, all right? No, we all have what? Sin. If we were to take Kaylee's life and put it against the commandments of God. Kaylee, have you ever had any other gods before? The true living God? She said yes, if you couldn't hear it. Speak up now, okay? You know, all right? Yes. You've broken a commandment! Kaylee, have you ever dishonored your parents? The Bible says one of the commandments is honor your father and your mother. You've never done that, have you? What? Yes? Ooh! Kaylee, the Bible, you know, one of the commandments says you're not to bear false witness. Have you ever given testimony against someone to someone else that wasn't for the truth? Ooh. Kaylee, one of the commandments says thou shalt not steal. Have you... it's time to be truthful now, you know. I mean, you're pretty pegged on the other ones, okay? Have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? You don't remember, okay? All right, okay. You tell me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You know, one of the commandments says, "Thou shalt not covet." Oh. You don't have to say another word, do you? No. Okay. Now, what does that verse say? Thank you, Kaylee. You can be seated. What does that verse say? Look at what the verse says. The verse says this. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 19, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be what? Stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Well, Kaylee, looking at her life against the commandments, cannot stand before God and say, God, I'm a pretty good person. Can she? Because she's broken his what? Commandments. Truth of the matter is, if we were standing in her shoes, we would have to stand before God and say, God, and you know what? I'm not a pretty good person either. Because I've broken your what? Commandments. And this boasting that sometimes we have in our lives, well, I can do it. I'll get there by what I do. God says, every mouth may be what? Stopped. See, the law of God stops our mouth of boasting and bragging and thinking that we're going to get to heaven by what we do. And notice what it goes on to say in the next verse, and pay attention to the next verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall some of us be justified in God's sight. No. Look what the Bible says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall, how many? No flesh be what? Justified in his what? For by the law is the knowledge of. Do you understand that God never gave the law to clean us up and to forgive us and get us to heaven? You know what God gave to do that? His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's Christ's blood that cleanses us of our sins, not obedience to the laws and commandments. Then look over, if you would, the same chapter in verse 28. Where in verse 28, the Bible says this, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith. See, they came back and they reported how that the Gentiles now had what? Faith. They believed the gospel. They were saved. And it says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith. And notice it says, without the deeds of the what? Law. Now let me show you something about the law this morning in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. See, the law is not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that we get to heaven by what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. He died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. And here in Colossians chapter 2, if you would please, the book of Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, page 1264, look what God, what the Lord Jesus Christ did with the commandments. In Colossians chapter 2, page 1264. In Colossians chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 13. Verse 13 says, and you being, important word. Look at it now, Colossians 2:13. And you being what? Dead in your what? Sins. In the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened. The word quickened means to be made alive together with him. It's all about Christ. And Christ has forgiven you all what? Trespasses. Doesn't say the law forgave you your trespasses. Says Christ forgave you your trespasses. Now look at what he did to the law, verse 14. Very important. Jesus blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was, now get this, what's the word? Against us, which was what? Contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the what? Cross. You think about that illustration with Kaylee here this morning and having to admit, well, you know, Pastor, I haven't kept the commandments. Well, that's what we would all have to admit to God, right? We've broken God's commandments. And as we think about those broken commandments, think about verse 14. The handwriting of the ordinances that was for us. No, they're what? They're against us. Why are they against us? Because they pronounce us in God's sight as being people who are guilty. That every mouth may be stopped. That every man may be guilty in the sight of God. God, I am a guilty sinner. See, the law was not for me. The law was not my Savior. The law was my condemner. The law, remember, we saw this a few weeks ago. We don't have time to go back there this morning. But in, rather than bringing us forgiveness and life, remember, the law brought us condemnation and death. Remember that? And notice what it goes on to say here, verse 14. Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which was, look at this expression, it was what? Contrary to us. What Jesus Christ do? He took the things that were against us, the things that were contrary to us, and He took it out of the way. He took the law on the cross of Calvary. He took our death and condemnation. Because what does the law do? It brings death and condemnation. Christ took the death, condemnation, and there He paid it in full on the cross of Calvary. He took those commandments. He nailed it, the Bible says, out of the what? Way. He nailed it out of the way. And notice what the verse says. Where did He nail it out of the way? He nailed it to His what? Cross. So my friend, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to have a home in heaven, it's not through circumcision. It's not through obedience to God's laws and commands. It's through the cross of Christ. It's through the good news gospel. Christ died for our what? Sins. He then was buried and rose again the third day. And that message is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. Yet people today want to say there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be more to it than that. Well, that's what the Judaizers were saying when they came up from Judea and said, if you're not circumcised, you can't get it to heaven. That's what these Pharisees were saying there in Jerusalem, who said, man, you got to tell these Gentiles, if they're going to go to heaven, they got to get circumcised. They got to obey the commandments of God. And you know what the church council is going to say? Church council is going to stand up and say, absolutely not. No. No. There is a Savior, Jesus Christ. That Savior is saving the Gentiles in the same way He's saving the Jews. And He's saving us both through the person of Jesus Christ, through the good news gospel. And guess what? We get our hearts purified. We get cleansed. We get the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus alone. That's what they're going to say. Go back to Acts 15. Let me show it to you. Acts chapter 15. This thing's important. What we're looking at here today is eternal in nature. And notice in verse 5, once again in Acts chapter 15, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, it's needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Okay, we'll decide this. We'll consider this issue. And in verse 7, notice it says, and when there had been much, look at it, verse 7 says, much what? There was much questioning going on. There was much debate going on. There was much argumentation going on. There was divided opinions over this issue. And finally, the Apostle Peter stands up. And thank God that he did. He stands up in the midst of those people. And he says in verse 7, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my, what? Mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now this man's speaking with authority. He's the apostle. In fact, we could probably argue that he's the head apostle. Remember Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to give to you the keys. Remember that? And it was Peter back in Acts chapter 10 who took the gospel to the household of Cornelius. And remember when he went to Cornelius' household back in Acts chapter 10, remember Cornelius had gathered his family together. They had all come to hear the words of this life. We want to hear what you've got to say. And when Peter preached the gospel in Acts chapter 10, what did those people do? They believed it. They were Gentiles, but they believed the gospel. And guess what? They were saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See? Important issue. Important issue. So Peter's standing up. He said, you guys remember, God gave me the open door to go to the Gentiles, preach the gospel, and they believed. By the way, it's precious to hear these children answering. Amen? It is. And verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. How do we know God was saving those Gentiles? How do we know that? Because he gave the Holy Spirit to them the same way he gave the Holy Spirit to us Jews. You want evidence of your salvation? God gave you the Holy Spirit. Amen? He gives the Holy Spirit to all who believe the gospel. Take your Bibles. Let me show you this real quickly, and we'll come right back here. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, over to your right, just let me show you this real quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. Take your Bibles and turn there. I'll give you a page number. Ephesians chapter 1, page 1250. 1250. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at this. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Hold your place in Acts. We're going to go right back there. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in whom, talking about Jesus, ye also what? Trusted. Well, when did they trust Jesus? After that they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your what? Salvation. See, you can't trust Jesus to be your way to heaven until you hear the message. Amen? You've got to hear the message to believe it. So when these people here heard the message, they believed. Now think about that. We're not going to turn back to this morning, but in Acts chapter 10, we've gone through this in our study of the book of Acts. When Cornelius and his household heard the message of the gospel proclaimed out of Peter's mouth, what did the Bible say they did? They believed. And the moment they believed, guess what? They received the Holy Spirit. And the moment you and I believe the gospel, guess what? We get the Holy Spirit. What evidence do we have that we're saved? We've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. Notice what it goes on to say. It goes on to say this, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye what? Believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Literally, you know that phrase, after that you believed, it's not talking about somewhere down the line, 5 years after you believed, you got the Holy Spirit. It literally means having believed, or when you believed, guess what? You were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you realize the Holy Spirit's inside of you? So Peter is really standing up, taking a stand, going back to Acts chapter 15 quickly, please. And here in Acts chapter 15, notice, God knoweth all things. Verse 8. He knows the hearts and bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto who? Us. Now verse 9. He's put no difference between us and them. Us Jews and them Gentiles. Put no difference between us. Purifying their hearts by what? Faith. And do you realize there's no difference between you and I and anybody else on the face of the earth today? Did you know that? Did you know that? I mean, we have some barriers in this world today. Sometimes people put up racial barriers. Do they not? But do you realize that in all the races on the face of the earth, doesn't matter what race you are, if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ, He will save you? And you might be a part of a race that is hated by another race. I mean, there's just tremendous hatred between those two races. But guess what? That other race that may hate your race, or you might hate their race, whatever it might be, guess what? If they put their faith in Christ, there's no difference. God will save them. God's no respecter of persons. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His what? And it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what country you come from. God loves you. And He gave His Son to die for you. And Jesus Christ will save you from your sin and give you a home in heaven in a heartbeat if you will respond to the gospel in faith, if you'll believe it. He's put no difference between us. Amen? No difference between us. Yeah, we're all saved the same way, by grace, through faith, in God's what? Son. And God doesn't care. God loves all people. He loves everyone. Somebody once said, God's colorblind. Yeah? He has no respect of persons. He has no respect of persons. And God's going to save Gentiles. He's going to save Jews. He's going to purify their hearts by what? By faith. Then notice verse 10, please. Now, therefore, why tempt ye to God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor ye were able to what? Bear. You know, Peter, when he makes that statement, he's standing against those Pharisees who are there in that group, who are insisting they've got to be circumcised. They've got to keep the law of Moses. And Peter was standing up saying, why in the world are you guys tempting God? Why in the world are you trying to put a yoke around the Gentiles' necks that neither ye nor your fathers have kept? That sort of reminds me of the do-good crowd. You know what I mean by the do-good crowd? I'm talking about the people today who just tell people, if you want to go to heaven, do good or be good. And they put a yoke of bondage around a person's neck. And I lived with that yoke of bondage for years in my life because I thought I had to be good to go to heaven, and I failed God over and over and over and over. And I was like Kaylee over here, only I wasn't saying I can't remember because I was saying I've done it. I've done it. And God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And if you'll forgive me, I promise you, God, I'll never do it again. And 3 weeks later, I went back and did the same thing all over again. So I went to my bedroom and pleaded with God, God, please forgive me. If you'll forgive me, I'll never do it again. And I'd turn around and do it over again and over again and over again and over again. I lived a life with a yoke of bondage about my neck. And what a hypocritical message it is to tell a person they've got to be good to go to heaven when they themselves have never qualified as being good to go to heaven. Do you realize there's no person on the face of the earth that is qualified as good enough to get to heaven? The Bible says there's none that doeth good. No, not what? That we all have sinned and we have come what? Short. We've fallen short of God's goodness. You want to be good to go to heaven, nobody's going to get there. And sometimes we take a yoke of bondage and we place it upon people's necks that we ourselves have not kept. You know, someone recently was saying, I heard this evangelist preaching, and boy, he really hit a people's sin hard. And he told them, you need to give up your smoking, and you need to give up your drinking, and you need to give up this and this and this, in order to get to heaven. And I'm thinking, they said, I like that kind of preaching. And I'm saying, good night. Don't you understand that you're saying to a lost person something that you haven't done yourself? Who in our midst has given up our sin? None of us. None of us. None of us. Yet to turn around and tell a lost person that's what he's going to do to be saved? Is that the gospel? Is that the message of believing the gospel and being saved? No. Well, Peter, thank God for Peter. He stands up, he speaks the truth, he confronts them, and then notice what he says in verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be what? Even as they. Isn't that the beautiful message of the gospel? It's not what we do, it's God's what? It's God's grace. We are saved by God's grace. By grace through faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. You say, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. It may be hard to believe, but it's true. Amen? And it's a good news message. When you believe that good news message, God saves you. God brings you in this family. Promises never kick you out or lose you. You have everlasting life. It's not trusting Christ plus our baptism. It's not trusting Christ plus our good works. It's not trusting Christ plus how we live our lives. It's trusting the one who died for us. It's not trusting our circumcision or our obedience to God's laws and commands. It's trusting the one who died for us. My friend, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus alone to be your way to heaven, may I encourage you to believe the gospel and be saved. And for those of us who have, church, those of us who have, we cannot be pacifist when it comes to the gospel. We've got to stand up and fight the good fight of faith. We've got to earnestly contend for the faith that the truth of the gospel might continue with us. It might be hard to believe, but it's true. Amen? And when you believe it, you are what? Saved. Let's bow together in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. There may be someone here this morning that has not yet believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your way to heaven. You've seen this morning from the Word of God how that Christ died for your sin, was buried and rose again the third day. You've seen the proclamation of the Word from the Word of God that message is the power of God and the salvation, if you would but believe it. Will you believe it today? Will you believe it right here this morning? Will you simply communicate to God in your mind and tell Him, God, I am that sinner who needs to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for my sin, was buried and rose again the third day. And here today, God, the best I know how, I'm believing on Your Son, Jesus, to save me. Would You do that if you've never done it before? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, not going to embarrass anyone, but just where you're sitting while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? If you're doing that here this morning, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up and slip it down in a moment so I can pray for you. I want you to realize it's not raising your hand that saves. It's believing the gospel. It's believing on Jesus, what He did for you on the cross to be your way to heaven. If you're doing that here this morning, God does save you. I rejoice in that. I'd like to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you're here today and say, Pastor, pray for me. I believed on Jesus here this morning. I believed the gospel. I want you to know I did that. I want you to pray for me. Would you just quietly slip your hand and slip it down? Anyone at all? Just by way of uplifted hand would say, here this morning, I'm believing the gospel. I'm believing on Jesus to be my way to heaven. Anyone? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Church, we have the Bible says it's a precious treasure committed to us. Let's be faithful with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth that you've given to us. Help us to be faithful with it. Help us to stand for it. Help us to rejoice in it when people hear it and believe it and are saved. Father, we thank you for these who've come this morning. We pray that you'd help us to be strengthened in the gospel. Pray that many would come back tonight, Lord, as we think about this subject of godliness. And once we believe the gospel, we certainly need to go on to live godly lives. So pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts and teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.